the Algorithms of Unfairness. Meet Virginia Eubanks, who's written Automating Inequality, a book with many stories about how AI and high tech punish the poor. She's with our own Ariel Bogle.
So this really was a response to a bit of frustration that I've been having around algorithmic decision making and human rights, because to me, it often seems so abstract. So it's really important to me to start from the point of view of those people who are most direct targets of these systems, folks who are unhoused and are looking for housing resources, or people who are trying to access public benefits, or families who have come into contact with child protective services.
First, let's get into some of these really extraordinary case studies you talk about in the book. One is the move by Indiana in 2006, I think, to automate all eligibility for their welfare services.
I don't know the soul of Governor Mitch Daniels or his administration at the time, so I can't say what their intentions were. But certainly the effects of this automation of their eligibility for welfare benefits, food assistance, and Medicaid, the impact of this automation experiment was 1 million denials of public benefits to people who were really deeply in need. And the automation itself basically replaced this relationship that families had had with local caseworkers with an automated application system and then regional call centers. It replaced the relationship that local caseworkers had had with families with a system that just gave caseworkers a list of tasks from anywhere in the state. In severing that link, it made it very difficult for people to actually access the benefits.
People who are subject to this system have to act in defensive information control. If they give up too much, they're subject to increasing amounts of surveillance. And if they give too little, they are unable to access these services. And that seemed quite apparent in the case of Angel and Patrick, who have come into contact with an automated program in the state of Pennsylvania around child protection services.
For all the folks who I spoke to who are targets of these systems, that's a huge concern. This idea that they have to trade one of their human rights, like their right to be self-determining around what kind of information they communicate about themselves, for another one of their human rights, right? So the right to housing or the right to food or the right to medical care or the right to keep their families intact. So in Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, they have recently begun experimenting with a predictive model called the Allegheny Family Screening Tool. It's supposed to be able to predict, based on the data that's held in a county data warehouse, which children might be victims of abuse or neglect sometime in the future. So the county data warehouse includes things like juvenile probation and adult probation, information from the police department, from the public schools, from the state office of income maintenance, which is sort of the welfare office. One of the real struggles that families like Patrick Grebe and Angel Shepherd face, they know that the predictive model bases their risk score, the score that is supposed to identify whether or not they're a risk to their children, on their amount of interaction with county services. So they're thinking to themselves, right, they're doing this algebra, this math in their head that says, okay, well, if I interact with this service, will that raise my score? If I interact with that service, will that raise my score? One of my fears about this system is that the danger of being scored high risk to your children will keep people from accessing the resources they deserve and need to keep their families safe.
It's also part of the mood of the moment for people to suggest that a solution is to audit the tools, you know, audit the algorithms, make sure they're operating ethically. But we really don't trust anybody, it feels. In the book, we don't trust the discretion of caseworkers. We very much don't trust the ability of people to look after their own affairs. But increasingly, we also don't trust the algorithms. So what is the solution here, in your view?
I feel like people are asking me for, you know, a 10-point plan for how to create more just technologies. And I think the question is more frustrating and deeper than that. These tools are shaped by our cultural misunderstandings about poverty. We believe as a nation that poverty is an individual failing. And then our public service systems focus most of their energy and their resources basically trying to determine whether or not an individual's poverty is their own fault, rather than supporting self-determination. Fundamentally, it boils down to two questions that designers should ask themselves about their systems. One is, does it increase the self-determination of poor and working people? And the second question is, if the system was aimed at anyone but poor and working people, would it be tolerated? And I'd say, even though the intentions of most of the designers were really great in the book that I wrote, that none of those systems actually rises to even that very feeble standard. And I think we can do a lot better.
I feel like in the public consciousness, we're really coming to terms now with how much we are a data point in the services we use, whether it's Facebook or Gmail, whatever else, what it is like to feel genuinely like a data point in a system, to feel looked at, to feel that your actions become numerical, and that that can have severe consequences for your life.
People spoke about interacting with these systems in a way that made them feel like they were constantly under the microscope, that you were always being judged and that you were always in danger. And so these systems impact us all across class boundaries as well as across racial lines, but they don't impact us all the same. Also, I think these communities are going to be the source of our most invigorating and challenging alternatives and solutions. So I really think starting where the targets of these systems are is really going to teach us a lot about how to create a more just digital future.
Great. Well, I look forward to the Data Points Fight Back sequel from you in a few years' time. Thanks so much for joining us today, Virginia.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a great conversation.
The book is Automating Inequality, written by Virginia Eubanks. She was with Ariel Bogle, who's our technology reporter.